The word today is body. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. When Jesus came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, he took on a human body. By observing Jesus' life here, we can learn important attitudes toward our body. These include the care and dedication of it to God's purposes. Here to explain Christ's example to us is Pastor Paul Schrader with more on The Word Today, body.
If you have a Bible handy, I hope you'll turn in the New Testament to the Epistle to the Hebrews. You know, every time I mention Hebrews, I'm sure most people think of the Old Testament, but that's an epistle in the New Testament. We're not quite sure who wrote it. Many people think it was St. Paul. At any rate, the author was writing to the Jewish community. And since the Jewish people were very familiar with the Old Testament laws and rules and all the different things about the festivals and the feasts and the sacrifices, the author of the letter to the Hebrews writes about these things so that they can compare them to what they have been taught and what they have learned in the Old Testament writings and in the Old Testament synagogues. And so Hebrews 10 emphasizes the word sacrifice, sacrifice. And in this particular case, it is a body sacrifice. It is the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, in the Old Testament, you can read a quote here found in Hebrews 10. What's being quoted is the book of Psalms. Actually, it's almost verbatim the 40th Psalm of David. And you can look at the 40th Psalm. Actually, there's a number of references you can look at where these are messianic prophecies. These are Old Testament writings that depict and explain the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. One of these, as I mentioned, is Psalm 40. It's almost identical to Psalm 50 and Psalm 69. As a matter of fact, all three of these psalms are messianic psalms. And then to kind of top it off in terms of Old Testament reading, take a look at Isaiah 53, one of my favorite chapters of the Old Testament, by the way. Isaiah 53. Actually, all four of these references will put you in the frame of mind to understand what the author to the Hebrews is saying here about the bodily sacrifice. You know, when you are reading your Bible, you will probably see italicized or at least set apart the references here to the sacrifice and the offering. And it's saying here, put these words, for instance, into the mouth of Jesus. Jesus is saying, so to speak, if you interpret this now, I know, Father in heaven, that you are no longer pleased with the sacrifices and the offerings that are coming through this old concept, that there now is going to be a new offering. And I know that you are giving me a body. You are giving me a body. This is a reference to the fact of the incarnation, that the Holy Spirit is going to impregnate Mary and that the Virgin Mary is going to give birth to a son. And that son will be pure man and also pure God. Jesus Christ has two natures. He is always true God, has always been true God, and will always be true God. But in the incarnation, he is also taking on, in addition to his deity, he is also taking on a human form, a human body. This is a perfect body, because it was not a result of a male-female. It's not an earthly conception. It is instead a spiritual conception. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary and impregnated her, and she gave birth to a son, Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at that and interpret these words here about the body that is going to be given to Christ, I think we need to take a moment yet to explain that phrase, body of Christ. Obviously, there's a natural body of God. That would be the baby Jesus born of the Virgin Mary. a natural human body in every way like ours, except for one thing. It had no sin. There was no sin in Jesus. So you have his natural body, then you have his supernatural body. Let's use that phrase to describe his divinity, his divine nature. So he is both God and man. And then there's another phrase where the body of Christ is used throughout the New Testament. It is a mystical term in that sense. It's referring to the Holy Christian Church. That would be every Christian everywhere, regardless of denomination, regardless of race. It would be every believer in Jesus Christ. And they are referred to in places like in Ephesians, for instance, as the body of Christ, using that term to depict the fact that here on earth, God's people are his mouth, his hands, his feet. We are doing the things of Christ as we should love one another and serve one another and so on. And Jesus Christ is the head of that body, the Holy Christian Church. Well, now, let's spend a little time here talking about this natural body, the physical body. You know, I think a lot of times we think that our body is just there, kind of ours. As a matter of fact, all the pagan religions of the world regard the body as being evil. The only religion that believes the body is good is the Christian religion, because God designed and created the body. God gave us our body. Now, it's been corrupted. It's been polluted by sin. And as a result, the evil in our flesh is real, and it has ruined, so to speak, God's creation. But forgiveness restores it and reunites us with Christ, and God will save the body. The body that you and I have will someday be in eternity, either in hell for the unbelievers or in heaven for the believers, those who trust in Christ. Our bodies will be saved. And when they are resurrected from the dead, they will be glorified. That means free from all the effects of sin. There will be no imperfections. There will be no illness. That's why there's no death in heaven. There is nothing at all that's going to pollute or corrupt God's creation, our body in its glorified nature. Now, obviously, we can't go too far in explaining what all that means because, quite frankly, we don't know that much about it. I've often thought that maybe the reason we don't know more about heaven is that if we knew all the glory and all the wonderful things that are going to be there, we'd be tempted to commit suicide. And that certainly wouldn't be right, certainly would not be pleasing to God. So we're kind of limited in what all this means, but we understand what it means when it says it's a perfect body. There will be no tears, there will be no sorrow in heaven. And our body, which will be glorified, will be joined with our soul, with our spirit, and we will be with God forever. Now, that being the case, I think it gives us another whole important understanding about the body. You know, all the way through the New Testament, there are references to this. For instance, when you talk about Holy Communion, that's found in the first epistle to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter. There's a section dealing with Holy Communion. And it helps you to understand that when the New Testament says that our bodies have become a temple of the living God, that's our body while we're here on earth, that Christ has entered and lives within us. That's what conversion is. That's what faith is. And that our bodies, therefore, become a temple of the living God. Now, that gives you a different understanding totally about your body. It is not yours to do with as you please. It is not mine to treat as I wish. It is God's. He has redeemed us. He comes and he lives in us. And so when you talk about receiving the sacrament, for instance, Christ living in us and us in him, all of these take on tremendous meaning, that the Lord Jesus Christ live in you. And in one of his epistles, St. Paul says this. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in him. In other words, we are to reflect the Jesus who lives in us and be a physical witness to the world by our acts of love, by our acts of compassion, by our acts of help, whenever we treat somebody in a loving way, helping in need, helping the poor, helping those that are in difficulty, we are doing it as an act of love which has been produced by Jesus Christ who lives in us. Now, that's a tremendous thought, and it gives you a whole new understanding of your body and how it is to be used to the glory of God. You know, I just rejoice whenever I see the people of God who begin to understand this and begin to grow in this understanding and understand that not only is their worship to the glory of God, but actually also their work, whatever their talents, whatever their abilities, whatever their training and their education is, all of these things are to be used to the glory of God. It gives you another different whole understanding of getting up in the morning and facing the day. It's not drudgery. It's not, oh, well, another day to put in my time. It is another day to be used to the glory of God, and it gives you a whole new excitement for your life, a whole new course of energy, a whole new ambition, and a whole new goal of what your life is all about. I hope as you hear these words, you'll analyze your life and see whether you're just kind of going day by day by day, or whether you have the excitement in you of knowing that your body, as well as your soul, belongs to God, that He has redeemed you. And your time here on earth, as long as it will be yet, going to be full of a lot of trouble, that's for sure, because there's a lot of trouble here on earth. We're not in heaven yet. But each day, ask God to come, to live within you, to strengthen you, and to give you a new understanding of your body, so that everything about you, your body and your mind, will be used to the glory of God, and that you will understand your body to be a temple of the living God, so that you will choose to serve Him and honor Him in everything that you do and say.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Repentance. It's another in a series of booklets on the key chapters of the Bible. In the booklet Repentance, Pastor Schrader shows how King David repents of his sin and is forgiven and restored to full joy and fellowship. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.